Chapter 19. A Strange Event. The boys were coming.
Quickly, Amy whispered to Zahir. Are you ready, Georgia? Santa?
Hearing Damien's laughter, Georgia stepped forward with the others along the new road and raised her shaker. As soon as the Beach Boys came around the corner, they all took their cue.
Hey guys, we love the road,
Amy sang out.
Zahir was next with a simple little song that they had only put together that morning.
It runs through fields that are hoed.
Georgia kept beat with her shakers while Santa clapped her hands and added a harmonic background melody.
And meanders through cows that graze,
Amy added, joining in clapping.
You've worked hard for many days,
Zahir added, smiling at Amy's enthusiasm.
Your road goes for a long, long ways. Our road is better thanks to you,
Amy concluded, pointing to all the boys.
We love you for all that you do.
The last line surprised Zahir, and he looked over wide-eyed. His mouth dropped open when Amy moved forward and gave Damien a hug. Damien was even more surprised. The Beach Boys warmly thanked the musicians for the song, and all of them insisted on hugs. Amy happily complied, but the other musicians did not. When the Beach Boys were well out of sight, Zahir mumbled, I didn't know you were going to do that. Do what? Amy asked, tying her long hair into a bun. Give them hugs. Since when do the Beach Boys deserve hugs? I thought you agreed that we should sing them a song of thanks, Amy replied. They worked really hard. Everyone works hard in paradise, Zahir put in defensively, as color rose in his dark olive skin. Does everyone need a hug for what they do? Wouldn't it be nice, Amy smiled, humming the song. If there was anything that she felt was lacking in paradise, it was hugs. Without fathers and mothers and only one uncle for 20 children, physical affection hadn't been lavishly doled out.
Some yearned for it more than others.
Santa and Georgia exchanged amused glances. Maybe Zahir wants a hug for helping you write the song, Santa suggested merrily, clapping her hands and doing her wiggle dance. Of course, Amy laughed, reaching over to give her friend a hug. Zahir turned bright red, but he stopped complaining. Time for school, Uncle Louie was calling. The kids ran across the orchard toward the schoolhouse. Uncle Louie was standing on the grass holding a large book open with some unusual-looking materials behind him. When everyone had gathered and found a place to sit on the stairs, Uncle Louie made an announcement. We have a very special contest for everyone, he told them excitedly. This contest will be the focus of our schooling for the next few weeks. We are going to design boats to sail on the lake. There were loud cheers from almost everyone. The Beach Boys weren't as enthusiastic, however. Having just finished 2 weeks of working on the road, with lake privileges finally reinstated, they had been looking forward to many peaceful days of surfing. I would like to see who can make the strongest boat, one that can hold the most people, Uncle Louie told them. I am also interested in the most attractive boat and the fastest boat. Those are your categories, strength, appearance, and speed. Can we work in groups? Charlie asked, hopefully. He still had a cast on his right arm and was carrying Maxie in his left. Yes, up to four in a group, Uncle Louie replied. He showed them the instructions in the book and then turned to the materials sitting behind him. He picked up the shiny silver sheets that sat in a pile. This is tin foil, he said. It is easily pliable, strong, lightweight, and fairly waterproof. Uncle Louie went on to tell them about the red wax, the corks, the rubber balloons of all sizes. Picking up each one, he explained the strength and weaknesses of the various materials and the way to use them. Amy could hardly wait to get started. She looked over at Damien, hoping to catch his eye and motion that he should be in her group. However, he and the Beach Boys were already making plans. Someone tugged playfully at her hair. She turned around. I'll work with you, Zahir suggested. Oh, okay, she said. Should we invite Rosa as well? Amy didn't think twice. No, not Rosa. Maybe Santa or Georgia. She looked over, but Georgia, Vanitha, Yuyan, and Tina were already forming a group. Nancy and Milan were beckoning to Santa. Zahir was looking around, too. Odin was standing all by himself, and he didn't look very happy. His long, messy hair stuck out all around him. He was the only boy who still had long hair. Maybe we should ask Odin to be in our group.
Odin? Amy whispered in disbelief.
Why would you even think of asking him? Because he's sitting all alone? Wouldn't you feel badly if no one wanted you in their group? Amy looked over at Odin with only a small spark of compassion. After all, he had rescued the girls and bravely fought the scary creature, but she couldn't imagine trying to work with him in a group. However, at that very moment, Rosa, Lily, and Pontsy approached Odin to ask him to join with them. He was still a mighty hero in their eyes. "What about just you and me?" Amy suggested, seeing that everyone else had now formed groups. "Oh, okay," he said. "Well, what do you want to make? The fastest, the strongest, or the most attractive?" With a sparkle in her eye, Amy replied, "How about we try for all three?" Considering the options, Zaheer hesitated. "But if we go for the fastest, we'll need something lightweight. Then it may not be the strongest. If we go for the strongest, then it might not be attractive."
"Let's get the instructions for all of them," Amy whispered secretively in his ear.
"We'll read everything and see if we can do something better than all the rest." Laughing, Zaheer nodded. "We can certainly try." The instructions were piled on the deck. Taking the sheets of paper for all three categories, Amy and Zaheer ran out to the nearby orchard to peruse the information privately. Most of the other children were helping themselves to the materials first and already beginning to experiment. Out in the orchard, Amy and Zaheer leaned against Charlie's shed. Fredo saw them and came bounding over. He wanted to lie with his head on Zaheer's lap. Zaheer tried to hold the instruction papers up so they could read them, but the papers were as tall as he was. Little did they know, the professor cut every sheet of his own printer paper into eights for the tinies. "Let's lay these on the ground," Amy suggested. They had to get onto their hands and knees to read. Fredo groaned when he had to give up the warm lap he was resting on. Amy patted Fredo's head while Zaheer began reading aloud. Little lorikeets fluttered noisily from tree to tree, and Amy wished they would come down and sit on her shoulder. Ripple sauntered over and tried to curl up on the top of the pages. Zaheer picked up the purring cat and placed her on top of his sleepy dog, but Ripple wasn't happy with that arrangement. With a nasty hiss at Fredo, the cat ran off. As Zaheer was explaining the benefits of using tinfoil, Amy suddenly noticed that one of the sunflowers was far taller than the others. She thought she could even see it moving upwards. Plants rarely moved in paradise because there was never a wind, only a very gentle breeze from the air filtration system. "Look at that sunflower," she notified Zaheer. "You can almost see it grow. It's huge." Zaheer stopped reading and looked in the direction she indicated. "It is growing," he pondered. "Let's go check it out." Leaving the papers on the ground, the two made their way to the flower garden. 10 sunflower plants stood in a neat row. The first 9 plants reached only to their waists, but the one furthest away was 3 times their height. Yet all of the plants, even the huge plant, only had their first 4 leaves. They ran over to the gigantic sunflower. Maxie saw them approaching Charlie's garden and came running over, barking. Amy patted Maxie's brown and white fur and told her that everything was okay. "These leaves actually look big enough to sit on," Zaheer laughed. Reaching up, he tried to climb onto the lowest leaf. The first time he slipped off, but the next time he managed to wriggle on. With a happy smile, he laid back with his arms behind his head. "Ah, this is nice," he told Amy. "I'm going to try," Amy said, choosing a leaf on the other side of the stem. Her first few attempts were unsuccessful. Finally, she spotted the cow grazing in the field. "I'm going to get Brownie," she said. "Then I can climb on her." Brownie was very compliant as long as she had grass in her mouth to chew. With Amy's arm draped over her back, Brownie tripped happily along. Amy positioned her underneath the sunflower's leaves and hoisted herself up onto the cow. However, just at that very moment, a rabbit hopped into the garden and the two dogs assumed guard duty. The commotion startled the cow, who lurched forward, throwing Amy off her back. Zaheer slid off his leaf and jumped to the ground. He extended a hand to Amy. "Are you okay?" he asked. With a groan, Amy took his hand and stood up. "I'm okay," she sighed. "I guess that was a dumb idea." "I'll help you get on," Zaheer offered. When Amy agreed, he gave her a boost up. The leaf was big enough for her to stretch out completely, and it almost seemed to be getting bigger by the moment. "Thank you," Amy said with delight as she lay back and breathed a happy sigh. "Oh, I love this," she sighed. Aware that it was still school time and they were supposed to be focused on their project, Amy said, "So we really should discuss which materials we want to use."
I really like the wax because it's such a pretty red. I think we'll be just as strong as a foil, if not stronger, and I love the color. Let me get the instruction sheets, Zaheer said, running back over to the shed to collect them. When he returned with the large sheets in his arm, he passed them up to Amy. Then he reached up to grab hold of the branch extending out to his leaf.
It's prickly, he remarked.
It was quite a struggle, but eventually Zaheer pulled himself back up and brushed off the prickles from his arms and hands.
This plant is growing taller, he said,
looking down at the ground. Wonder how tall it will grow. This could be fun. Enjoying their soft, reclining leaves, neither one of them considered that their situation could be in any way precarious. The two dogs settled down below for a snooze in the shade. I have an idea, Zaheer smiled. Why don't we try a small piece of each type of material? We can dig some rocks out of mining hill and weigh each material down in the water with the same size rock. Then we'll know for sure which one floats better. So we'll try the cork as well? Sure. It's rather ugly. We can mold the wax around it to add some color and shape. True. What was the other material that Uncle Louie mentioned? Amy considered. Maybe we should read these sheets and then we'll have all the details. Great plan, Zaheer agreed. He placed his arms behind his head and got ready to listen. For the next hour, Amy read the sheets and they discussed the information. Finally, they felt educated enough to begin experimentation. Let's go dig up some rocks, Amy cheered. However, when she tried to get down, she realized she was now almost twice her height from the ground. Nervously, she said, we're up really high. Oh no, Zaheer said, sitting upright. This plant is growing fast, really fast. We better tell Uncle Louie about this. With that, Zaheer shuffled himself to the edge of the leaf, took hold of the branch, and slid down the stem. However, the prickles on the stem were even harder and longer now. There were many ouches on the way down. Amy didn't feel that she wanted to follow his lead. I'm scared, she said. I'll get the ladder, Zaheer told her, running off to the store with Maxie and Freddo at his heels. When he returned, he set the ladder against the plant's prickly stem, but it wasn't tall enough. I better call Uncle Louie, Zaheer said, pulling a piece of prickle out from his shirt. There's something very strange about this plant. It's already way taller than the trees. Please hurry, Amy pleaded, no longer enjoying the comfortable recline in the ever-expanding leaf. Zaheer dashed over to Uncle Louie, who was explaining things to Rosa and Lily. There is a huge plant growing really fast in the garden, Zaheer shouted. Everyone turned to look. Charlie and Santa jumped to their feet. We'll deal with it when school is over, Uncle Louie replied, unfazed. But Amy is sitting on it, and she's way up in the air. Seriously? Uncle Louie ran over to where he could see the garden, followed by all the other tinies. Sure enough, one sunflower was six times the size of all the others. On a large leaf, Amy sat perched near the edge, looking down nervously. Maxie and Freddo were chasing each other around the garden. We need to get Amy down, Uncle Louie called out. Someone find something tall to stand on. Damien picked up the strong balloon that he and his buddies had been experimenting with. Hey guys, come on, he muttered. While the others scurried around trying to find anything that might be tall enough to reach Amy, Damien and his friends rushed to the plant. Uncle Louie was right behind them. Stretch it out, Damien told his friends. They all took an edge of the balloon and backed away from each other. You've got to jump, he told Amy. We'll catch you. It's so far down, she cried. It's only going to get further down, he told her. Jump, Amy! Closing her eyes and screwing up her face tightly, Amy jumped. Uncle Louie watched anxiously as she fell. Thankfully, she landed right in the middle of the balloon, stretching it almost all the way to the ground, and then she bounced on the surface. The boys hung on to the edges and kept her safe. She was very relieved. Amy's knees were shaking, so Damien picked her up in his lanky arms and carried her back to the schoolhouse. All the tinies followed, pestering Amy with questions. No one noticed that Uncle Louie had suddenly disappeared. Nor did it seem strange to anyone that after Uncle Louie returned and was helping them again with their boats, the train came in for a second time that day. School was immediately dismissed. The giant sunflower was now 10 times the size of the others, which still only reached up to the tiny's waist. Taking all the tinies with him, Uncle Louie opened the first train door. There were only two things inside, some rope and a big saw. Taking the long, dangerous-looking instrument out, Uncle Louie told them all it was a bow saw.
Some of the boys wanted to touch the groove's serrated edges and marveled at how sharp it felt. They had used little kitchen knives occasionally and small skill saws on the building boards, but they had never seen a saw so long and with so many sharp spikes. "Ouch!" Odin yelled as his hasty investigation of the blade drew blood on his finger. "Do you need a bandage?" Tina inquired anxiously. The cut was only skin deep. Odin shook his head and put his finger in his mouth. All the other boys pulled their hands back. "Yes, it's very sharp," Uncle Louis affirmed. "This saw is the one we need to cut down the giant sunflower, but we have to be careful. It can do damage to us if we don't use it properly." "So it's a dangerous tool?" Franz asked with a sly look. Uncle Louis saw Franz and Odin exchange crafty glances. "Yes," he agreed warily. "Anything that can be used for good purposes can also be used for bad. Always choose to use things for good if you want paradise to stay safe and beautiful." Franz and Odin lagged behind while the other children followed Uncle Louis out to the garden with much excitement and apprehension. Looking around for the best place to bring the giant down, Uncle Louis explained, "We need to make sure that when we cut this sunflower down, it doesn't fall on anyone or wreck any plants in the garden." Everyone's eyes grew wide. While some were fearful, others loved the drama. The sunflower was the tallest plant they had ever seen. It was now 4 times the size of Uncle Louis. Eyeing the distance to the school roof carefully, Uncle Louis asked Damien to rope the plant, tying it tightly, and then the Beach Boys were told to carry the other end toward the meadow. Kenzie and Fahid were given the task of sawing through the stem, while everyone else was told to stand near the schoolhouse. Several girls huddled under the school roof, hoping the plant wouldn't land on them. Most of the boys stood as far from the school and as close to the plant as they deemed to be courageously safe. Kenzie and Fahid began pulling the saw back and forth across the overgrown plant. "Keep a tight hold on that rope," Uncle Louis demanded sharply, looking toward the Beach Boys. Sawing with all their might, Kenzie and Fahid took frequent breaks to mop their sweaty foreheads. Suddenly there was a loud crack, and the whole plant began toppling toward the school. "Pull hard!" Uncle Louis yelled. The Beach Boys yanked on the rope just in time. The tall plant changed direction and came down with a loud thud. Its 2 top leaves nearly reached the dry riverbed. All of paradise erupted into loud cheers. The garden was saved. Uncle Louis directed all the boys to take a turn cutting up the plant. It took quite some time for all the pieces to be carried across the meadow and jammed into the train. When they were finished, Uncle Louis went back for the bow saw, but it wasn't where he had last seen it. "Hey guys, has anyone seen the saw?" But no one seemed to know. "I need the saw back now," he said firmly. "No dinner for anyone until it's back in my possession." Damien, Franz, and Odin exchanged glances. "I will bring it right back if we see it anywhere," Damien promised. Uncle Louis nodded knowingly. While there were other small, useful saws and knives in paradise for regular needs, none were so sharp and potentially destructive as the bow saw. He knew the professor didn't want to see any living trees chopped down. In 5 minutes, the boys were back with the instrument, claiming they had found it in the forest. "Thank you for finding it and bringing it back," Uncle Louis said, wishing he could fully believe their story. He put the saw into the first car in the train and waited until the train had backed out of paradise. He hoped they wouldn't need such a hazardous tool again.